I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
You know, I like Montana Meat Day. I kind of like National Ag Day, National Ag Week too. I probably should have had breakfast this morning. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. Thanks for being here. It's 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. Let me welcome Scott Kolbeck. He's the first vice president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. Man, they've been around forever. Scott, good morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thank you, and good morning to you as well.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Happy Egg Day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a great day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when's it not a great day, in Montana? People love that lifestyle, that rural lifestyle, whether they're, they've got 20,000 acres, 10,000, 5,000, or 10 acres. That rural lifestyle, for me, is what makes Montana, and I still think it grounds us to real good human values, too.
Oh, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree, and it's why I love living in Montana. Well, I've never left, and I hope to never leave. And if you just spend any time in rural Montana, and your spirits will be uplifted, and you'll feel how fortunate you are to be alive.
Yeah, yeah, but don't forget a breadcrumb trail, because you can get lost out there too. And that's another thing we love about it. We were talking about SVB and the banking failure. The financial planner we had on, Mike Vondra, talked about it as being a crisis. I think immediate action has been helpful, at least to calm the public. No need to comment necessarily on that, but how does the financial world, and we see these things kind of breaking, we look at this movement toward considerations for investment that ESG and DEI and kind of breaking fundamental principles regarding investing. How is this now affecting our new farmer out there?
Sure. I mean, and the new farmer could be in a position that a little bit more tenable than the established farmer and rancher. But I feel pretty rosy, and I have a good amount of optimism about this year. And although I understand that what's going on in the bank industry can be a concern for many, we have to, I think, remember that those banks that are having problems, that are actually failing, a little bit more risk adverse than the community banks and the traditional agricultural lenders. And from what I'm seeing and talking to our members and bankers, that although we're a little worried about, well, I shouldn't say a little, we're a lot worried about the cost of inputs, and they've gone up quite a little bit, and that's hurting the bottom line of our members. But fortunately, the prices for cattle and grain have outpaced that a little bit. And the bankers I've talked to in Montana, they've got a lot more well-rounded portfolio of investments, especially these ag loans, and they're feeling pretty decent about it. And they're feeling that the ag economy will have some, its profits, and that helps round out their portfolios. And I've also heard from the American Farm Bureau, and we've discussed this issue, and I think that the ag credit's going to be out there, and that the community banks that have a more well-rounded portfolio of investments, especially working with our farmer rancher members, they feel a lot more safe. And they feel like that there's profit to be made, and that our farmer rancher members will be able to come out okay this year. And so that ag credit, I believe, is going to be there for those who need to take advantage of that. Yes, there's going to be a little bit of a higher interest rate, and we understand that. But thankfully, the price of our commodities have outpaced the price of our inputs a little bit.
Yeah, and that's not how the math always adds up in the farming industry. What are the concerns about like ESG? Because some of these investors are going to look at those artificial edicts, so to speak, and they're just placed on by policy or by wish and design, and they could affect especially the agricultural world when you look at how folks that propose these ESG principles don't like fertilizer. They a lot of them feel that agriculture is threatening, and I think that's false. But how does the industry navigate through that umbrella?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think I'd start off by saying, you know, that you mentioned it's false, and it's definitely false. And this is a great day to point out. And one of the things that American Farm Bureau and Montana Farm Bureau like to point out and celebrate National Egg Day is that our farmers and ranchers are producing food and fiber on a scale that's never been before, and they're doing it with less fertilizer, they're doing it with less chemical, they're doing it in a more environmentally friendly way, and they're doing it in a way that is sustainable. And I think that that's the message to point out to there. But your question about ESG guidelines, that, you know, that's important. And that's something that our members talked about quite a little bit at our convention in November and passed some policy. And as you might imagine, that we are not in favor of ESG guidelines dictating what comes down on us as far as the form of regulation or that the firms that are using those to and the industry that's using those in banking that would invest in only ESG-friendly corporations. And that's something that we're definitely opposed to. And I had the same thoughts and worry that you're expressing, and I've asked a lot of people about how this is going to affect our members. And I got a really, really good answer from a colleague at the Farm Bureau Bank, actually. And he said that this is actually an opportunity for them. They're not publicly traded. They don't have to get and play into the same ESG games as some of the publicly traded firms go. So they feel it's an opportunity to step into the markets where others are leaving. And, you know, still very solid, safe market to invest in. But in industries like agriculture where, you know, our bottom line is sustainability and, yes, protecting the environment that we live in. But ultimately, sustainability is only a fact if we're profitable. And so that's something that we have to consider as well. Now, in the same breath, we are working to protect our farmer and rancher members from ESG guidelines and things like that, the proposals by the SEC to mandate carbon measuring carbon emitting gas from being monitored on down the chain from firms that do trade on public markets. And that's something that we've got a lot of support behind us in fighting and in an area that we'll be able to point to as a victory at the end of the year. So it's definitely an issue of concern, but I think it could also be an opportunity as well.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. I mean, for me, the mandates without math are a wrong approach here. I don't mind being encouraged, and I know as an industry, ag people are, I think, the best conservationists. But you get into trouble when you force those mandates without the math. What? How much talk? And I appreciate you guys are discussing this because these are anything that affects agriculture around the world probably starts here or ends up here one way or the other. Danish farmers. We've seen the attack in Europe regarding that industry. How much are you guys talking about? And maybe you can share in summary what's going on over there. We've talked about it here. Maybe there's some folks who aren't exactly sure what's going on over there. But how much are you guys talking about what's happened over there and trying to avoid that here?
Yeah, you know, it's always something that we have to look at, whether it's over there or even some of the issues that are happening on the coasts in America that attacks on American agriculture, whether it be by our own government in the form of overregulation. But, you know, I think that while that's worth monitoring, I think that our standpoint is that we need to tell the story of American agriculture, and it's a very positive story. And I believe that, and I've seen some studies that still the American farmer and the American rancher are some of the most trusted individuals by the public that there is, you know, right up there with firemen. And so when we tell our story and we talk about what we're doing to feed the world, really, and how safe we're doing in that job, and really the positive story that we can tell within agriculture, then that serves us very well, I believe, and that's one of the best ways to stave off some of the issues that are going on worldwide that are directed, you know, like you say, attacks on agriculture. I feel like I'd take a much more positive method on the high road, these kind of issues, and we have a positive story to tell, and on days like National Egg Day, that's what we need to do to stay above the fray a little bit. And while we're not burying our head in the sand, we're aware of what's going on. You know, we believe that when we tell the story of American agriculture, we look very good. And farmers and ranchers, especially in Montana, look very good when we tell the real story of agriculture. And so I guess I take the high road on a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm directly answering your question, but I think that's important to say.
Well, no, I get that. That's a stance that's viable. In the Netherlands, the government has initiated some very, very draconian regulations designed, as many would say, to drive the farmer out. And then, of course, at the same time, the Netherlands also opened up a fund to buy farmland so the government could own the farmland that they're forcing these farmers out of. That's kind of a summary of it. And they have revolted tremendously over there. And I'm glad to see that kind of pushback. But that's
sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any more on that. Yeah. I just wanted to explain that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I understand where you're coming from. You know, and if you go back into the history of agriculture in America, these things have happened here too. And
yeah.
One of the things I'm most proud about with being a part of Farm Bureau and a long career in this organization is that we are really work within the system that we have to make a positive impact. And we haven't really gone off, to one side or the other as far as outliers. And I think it's that we have the audience and we have the relationships, not only on the national level, but here in the state level to work with those that make the regulations and that make the laws. And we'll continue to work within our system of government to make a positive impact. And I really do feel like that's the way that we move the needle in a way that protects our farmers and ranchers in Montana. And that's the best way that we can take a look at any problem, I believe, especially with, you know, some of the mandates and the way that our federal government is going. But that's our government, and we still need to work within it. And we have the resources within Farm Bureau to do so.
Scott, stand by. Got more upcoming here sure. with Scott Kolbeck from Montana Farm Bureau Federation in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Tom Schultz back alongside, and happy National Ag Day to you. Scott Kolbeck is with us, first vice president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, mfbf.org, for more information. I noticed, Scott, that you guys don't have a farm joke page. That's probably because there's not a lot out there. But how did the organic vegetable die, Scott? How did the
I just have to ask, how did the organic vegetable die?
It was natural causes, sure. Sir. It was natural causes. Yes, yeah.
All right, well, that's not bad. I'll see our Dylan, who manages our website and our digital media. Maybe we'll work on that
yes.
joke page.
Yes, do, because you can certainly raise that one pretty easily. 68th Legislature, we got about, and I'm sorry I sucked up some time there. We got 2 minutes. Tell me what's going on, good, bad, ugly.
Sure. Well, I mean, overall, I think it's very good, and we're pleased with how it's going for agriculture. You know, the old saying is very true that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting, and that's definitely been the case in the 68th legislature, but we're seeing some good legislation move through. One piece of legislation that would take down the time limit to get a change or mitigation for water appropriations from somewhere over 300 days to somewhere around 100 days. We think that's very positive for agriculture, any water right user as well. And we've got some real solid policy that supports some changes in the water court and that would help out hearing disputes with water. We think that bill is going to get through, and by the time it's done, it's going to be a very good deal for agriculture. There was also some bills going through that would manage and allow Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to manage grizzlies if they're removed from the Endangered Species Act. That's been widely supported by not only agriculture, but actually supported by Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. We think that's a good piece of legislation. And then I just really appreciate Governor Gianforte's open door policy, and he and the Lieutenant Governor working with us in the interim all the way through to this legislature to make positive impacts for agriculture and things like the increase in the business equipment tax deduction. That's going to really help out our members. And then he's also expressed to us, and we offered to him the opportunity and the willingness to research and work on ways we can make the tax structure more fair for landowners and private property owners, but then also maybe take a look at what we do with agricultural land that is bought and then taken out of production. And we think that that is an issue that can be positively addressed and then make the tax structure more fair for everyone. So, yeah, overall, I think water, taxes, of course, Endangered Species Act and how we can work with that in on a state level, but some positive legislation going through, and I really appreciate all of our folks in Helena that are working on behalf of Montana.
I appreciate the work you do as well, Scott. Thank you so much, and happy Egg Day to you, sir.
Happy National Egg Day to you as well, and I appreciate your time. Montana.